One of the continual problems that God's people have faced is the sense that God is somehow inactive and that stuff goes on in life and that he is not particularly directly actively involved and that he has somehow forgotten or that he's just involved on a very sort of broad brush kind of level. And a lot of the Bible prophecies are trying to help us to see that this is not at all the case. One of the angles or windows that they take on this is to reveal to us the huge amount of angelic activity that is going on amongst the nations. And I want to give you just two examples, one from Nahum chapter 2, the other from Zechariah chapter 6. In Nahum 2, we read very much the language of the cherubim being used about the Assyrians. Now, Nahum, I think, was living around the time of Hezekiah, and he's saying that, look, God is involved here. The angels are going to go forth and do great things to the Assyrians. And of course, an angel did go forth and destroy the Assyrian army that was encamped around Jerusalem. But Nahum speaks as if the angels are going to go on and destroy the capital of Assyria, which was Nineveh. And it's all very much in the language of the cherubim. You take Nahum 2, verse 3, the chariots flash as flames of fire. They flash and run to and fro. Now, flaming fire is the language that we've got in verse 4, in verse 5. And yet it's talking about how the Medes were going to attack Nineveh, as they did, and to destroy Assyria. But it's described in terms of the cherubim, of the angels, going forth and doing this. Verse 4, their chariots, this is of the Medes, rage in the streets, that's the streets of Nineveh, they flash back and forth. Their appearance is like torches, they run like lightning. Well, this is all the language of the cherubim in Ezekiel, the appearance of them like torches, running like lightning, flashing backwards and forward. This is very much the cherubim. And you got the same actually in Nahum 3 with the flashing sword, the glittering spear, etc. And the prancing of the horses, the jumping of the chariots, etc. Well, the Hebrew word for cherubim and for chariot are related. They're very similar. So I think you have here the idea of the cherubim, of angels, acting for God's people and acting through the Medes against Assyria. And I think, as we'll see in Zechariah 6, that there are angelic potentials. For example, what was done to the Assyrians outside the walls of Jerusalem could have been taken further. They could have, as it were, been pursued back to Nineveh by the angel, and this great deliverance could then have happened. But it didn't. I personally think it was because the 10 tribes who were in captivity hadn't really repented as they were intended to, and so the deliverance didn't quite happen to the extent that it potentially could have done. The point is that these nations, as they go about their course and apparently exercise their absolute sovereign free will, are all the same being used by God, and God, through the angels, is behind them. And so the time and tide of human history, as it goes on and as it plays out and develops and extends around us in our days, in our lives, this is not chance. Of course, there is an element of free will in all human beings, but there is this higher hand. There is this huge angelic cherubic activity. And when you look at the visions of Ezekiel of the cherubim, no artist can really get it right. They're very clever animations, but when you look at the text and compare it with the animations, you think, he's missed this. No, she didn't get that bit right. What on earth does this mean? This has not been factored in. I think the simple takeaway impression is that the whole system of working is beyond visualization. It is beyond us to really define, but it is there. That is the point. That as cotton wool clouds crawl across the sky very slowly, don't think that nothing's happening. There is huge activity buzzing over our heads, even if we do not understand it all. And this is the same situation in Zechariah chapter 6, where you have a similar sort of scenario, where the question is, look, we've been 70 years in exile, it seems God's kind of forgotten, and nothing much is happening. And the answer is in these sort of visions that Zechariah has, that God is extremely active. So in Zechariah 6, he sees chariots with horses of different colours inside them. Well, as I said, the Hebrew for chariot and for cherubim are related. And in Zechariah 1, you've got a similar vision of horses which represent the nations who've trampled upon the land of Israel and subdued it. And now we see horses again. And there's, as we saw in Nahum, there's this sort of mixture between the idea of the cherubim and of the nations, because the angels, the system of cherubim, are manifested through these nations. And when you come to Daniel, you find that actually nations have their representatives in the court of heaven. Angels represent them in the court of heaven. So Israel was not at the hands of sort of chance human evil. The horses actually report back, we read, to an angel in Zechariah 1. And so here, as the horses, the chariots of chapter 6 go out in judgment, this is all absolutely under God's control. And God works through a mechanism. He could just make things happen, but it seems to me he always chooses to work through a mechanism, and that agency, that mechanism that he works through, is this huge system of angels. So then he wants to know, Zechariah wants to know, the exact meaning of all these different horses, etc. And he's not actually given a detailed explanation of the colour scheme. We would want, you know, come on, tell me, what does this represent? What do the red ones represent? What do the white ones represent? Etc. And it's significant that he's not given that answer. He's told in verse 5 of Zechariah 6, these are the four spirits of the heavens. And the Hebrew for winds and spirits is the same. And God makes his angels spirits, the psalm says. So I think this refers to the four aspects of the cherubim. He wants to have the detailed explanation, and he's not given that. He's simply told, look, these are the manifestation on earth of the angels, the four cherubim of the visions that he would have been aware of. And they go forth, the angel said, from standing before the Lord of all the earth or all the land. Perhaps Michael, the angel who stands for Israel and represents him. And so they are sent out. That's the idea. So then, the idea that, you know, God is somehow, you know, forgotten us and that God is far away, not at all. The idea was, no, look, God is active, has been active, is planning huge activity. But then the vision finishes in verse 15. This will happen if you will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your God. So I think the idea is that, yeah, look, a great restoration is planned, the angelic activity is buzzing over your heads, but you are holding the reins because this is conditional upon your diligent obedience. The restoration would only happen if the exiles wanted to be restored and if those who had returned to the land stopped just trying to build their own houses and carve out a bit of land and make a little bit of profit for themselves and think, you know, they'd sort of got what they wanted by having their own bit of land, etc. Now, if they had a wider vision than that, then sure, their vision would come into reality. And it is the same in our lives, that you have to spiritually open your eyes. This is why John's Gospel talks of seeing in a spiritual sense and needing a new pair of eyes, of really seeing, rather than just viewing the immediate as the unbeliever looks at life, just what is in front of their nose kind of thing. There is a lot wider going on. I don't mean that in a mystical sense or whatever, but it is true that God is intensely aware. It is not true that God is not paying attention or that God has wound the earth up on clockwork and has left it ticking while he, you know, is someplace else. No, this is the impression that the unbeliever or the person with very weak faith might have. But God is intensely, consciously aware of everything. And he has this huge cherubic system of angels who are extremely busy working with people through the nations, as you see particularly in Daniel and Zechariah, ultimately setting up everything towards our salvation. But as he concludes, this will happen if you will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your God.